I'll eat four. I'm relaxing.
You're not relaxing. You're fucking up my recording, dude. You're messing up the show, okay? What I'm saying is I need you to say some more funny shit right now, like on cue.
Da-da-da! What's the hell on cue? What am I, one of these new Coke machines where you can pick your flavor and just hold the button down? I'm not your goddamn fucking puppet. I'm a human being. You be treated like a human being and such.
Sorry about my shit intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Now That I'm Older with Shane Smith. Let's get to the show.
In honor of Mother's Day being this past weekend, I want to tell you guys a story about my mom. Now, I've told you before, she's a saint. She'll give you the shirt off her back. She'll tell you exactly how it is. She's just overall a great person. But recently, I watched her go through one of the most difficult things that anyone can ever deal with in their entire life. And she showed amazing strength throughout the process. And I wanted to share that with you guys. So it all started a couple of weeks back when I get on Facebook and I see my mom posting a status about my grandmother saying, you know, we're still up at the hospital. She's getting stronger, but keep us in your prayers. We're not out of the woods yet. So I pick up the phone and I'm like, what's going on? And she tells me the story about how Granny just really wasn't feeling well one day, couldn't catch her breath, was feeling really weak. And they decided to go to the urgent med doctor and they sit down. He does an examination and says, you guys need to get to the emergency room right now. I'm going to call them and tell them you're on the way. And before they knew it, my mom is sitting in a critical care unit with her mom. Now, I'm getting over a head cold at the time, and I'm like, Mom, do I need to go up there right now? Because I will if I need to, but if she's got a respiratory thing and I've got a cold, that doesn't seem like the best medicine. I'm almost over it. You know, I can come tomorrow. My mom's like, don't worry about it. It's fine. So the next day I go up there. Now, before I tell the story of walking in and seeing my grandmother, I just want to tell you guys before I get into that, that Granny was always kind of a diva. And when I say that, I don't mean that in a mean way. She was this small person who always had her hair done. She always had her rings on. She always had her nails done. She always had her clothes, you know, looking really good. She always looked like a lady. She always looked proper. She looked like she was going out to the store. And she looked like she was about to be seen by someone who needed to see her. So when I walked into the hospital room, my mom had prepared me for it before I got in there. But she was always really small. But she was like just this shell of who she had previously been. She was this small, tiny person, and my entire life I'd always seen her so well put together. I'd never seen her without her teeth except for like a morning or two here or there where she was making coffee or something and just couldn't function before she had her coffee. But for the most part of my life, I'd never seen her without her teeth in. I'd never seen any gray in her hair ever. She always had her hair dyed back to her natural color, which was an auburn red, and I'd never ever seen it gray at all. So when I walk in, I see this small, frail, tiny person with this little tuft of gray hair on the top of her head. And she's trying her best to interact. She's trying her best to be lucid. She's trying her best to be, you know, talking to everybody and saying hi and saying, I love you and hey, come here and stuff like that and calling people's names and things along those lines. And my wife, the hospice nurse, walks over to my mom and I hear my mom and Nikki talking about things like, you know, physical therapy, pull bars in the house, a new bathtub, things along these lines. And as we're walking out of the hospital room after we get through seeing everybody and, you know, we're talking to Granny and I'm saying, you know, I love you and things like that. And I kiss her on the forehead and I tell my mom I love her and we're getting ready to leave. And as we're walking out, I look over at my wife and I'm like, well, hey, the doctor's saying physical therapy and the doctor's saying she's going to come home and things like that. Maybe this isn't going to be too bad. You know, maybe she's just going to get sick and she'll get better in a couple months. And my wife has this way of looking at me to let me know that things are not the way they seem. So I didn't really get too deep into it with her. Well, fast forward a couple of days and I get a phone call at work saying, if you want to see Granny, you need to get up here right now because the doctors are telling Mom that if you don't get here, she may be dead this afternoon. My brother's voice was cracking. He was definitely already crying and he was en route up to the hospital right at that moment. So I go to my boss and I say, you know, I got to get some shit done, but I'm going to get out of here. I got to go. I don't know if I'm coming back tomorrow. My grandmother might pass today. I just got to get the hell out of here. So I get some shit done at my job, get in my car, and I drive way too fast all the way from my job all the way over to the hospital. And when I walk in, My mom had told me that Granny was on a CPAP machine, but I wasn't prepared for what it really was going to look like. And if you've never seen a CPAP machine, it's this full facial mask that pushes air into the lungs of the person who has to wear it. And when you wear it, it pushes the air in. But when you draw a breath in, it makes this terrible gasping sound. And it just sounded like some monster was in the room with my grandmother the entire time. And it just, I always do my best in these situations not to crack and not to cry, because I feel as though I've always tried to be the strong one. And I feel like if I break, everybody around me is going to break. But I'm looking over at my mom throughout this whole process. I walk in and my mom's got, you know, dried tears on her face, and you can see that her eyes have bags under them and everything like that. But she's right there next to my grandmother's bedside the entire time. She's singing to her. She says, you know, we've been praying all night. You know, I've been feeding her this kind of pudding, you know, those sorts of things. My mom is just right there next to the bedside the entire time. Well, you fast forward past that. We go outside and we're all hanging out. And my mom at one point looks at me and says, what if I didn't do everything I could? What if I didn't do everything I could? What if, you know, what if I should have made her stay at my house more? What if I should have had her? And I finally looked at her and I said, Mom, Granny's 78 years old. There's nothing you could have done more than what you did. You did everything you could in this process. And we got past that, and, you know, we moved on, and we get back up to the bed, to the hospital room, and Mom goes back to keep and watch over Granny. And I ended up staying there that night till about 11 or 12 and just pouring tears when I left the hospital and just not really knowing how to deal with this, because I'm watching my mom break down slowly in front of me, but she's holding it together because at this point she's been appointed power of attorney. She's having to make sure all the financial decisions are made, all the arrangements are made, all the medical arrangements are made. Everything is falling to my mom. So she's breaking down privately to the side with me and with my brother, but she's not got the ability to break down in front of everybody else. So she goes back up and she champions on, walks into my grandmother's hospital room, and, you know, stays watch next to her bed. Well, I go back up a couple nights later and I sit next to her and we're talking a little bit. And my grandmother's brother had come up there and she was talking to my mom the day before. This was about April 25th. And she's talking to my, or he's talking to my mom, and he's quoting some song. I don't know what the name of the song was, but he said, you know, your mom was always a lady. And there's that old song that says, a lady always knows when it's time to leave. And I believe that when it's time for her to go, she's going to go. And the doctors over the course of the next couple of days kept telling us, you know, she's going to pass any minute now, any day now she could be gone. In the next 2 hours, she may be gone. And once we remove this oxygen, she's going to die. And my mom's sitting there next to her the entire time, singing to her, praying to her. She's got 3 or 4 overnight bags in the room at this point. My mom stayed in the hospital with my grandmother for 10 days straight. And she pulled me to the side and she told me that quote about, you know, a lady always knows when to leave. And I thought about that in my head. And again, it's April 25th. Well, my brother's birthday is April 28th. And April 27th, they took my grandmother to a hospice. And they told us, when we move your grandmother, there's a possibility that she may not make it past this. She may absolutely not be able to handle the stress of it. Well, Granny pulled through the entire thing. She got over to the hospice. They got her in there. They got her settled. And within a couple of hours of her being there, she passed away. And it was April 27th. And my mom told me that quote, a lady always knows when it's time to leave. And I thought about that because my brother, Stephen, is a very emotional person when it comes to death and people dying around him, people he loves. And he and my grandmother were very, very close. And I knew that it would crush him if every day, every year on his birthday, he also had to feel the weight of his grandmother dying on that day. And I also knew that it would hurt my mom even more for one of her son's birthdays to have to be on the same day that her mother had passed. So it kind of stuck with me that Granny kind of knew when it was time to go and knew when it was time to go through the whole process. But I watched my mom stick it out 10 days straight in the hospital, going home to take a shower, going home to get 2 hours of sleep and coming right back to the hospital and just being there throughout the entire process. And I watched her through the entire funeral process, and she's standing there and she's being a rock throughout the whole thing. You know, she cried a couple of times. It got a little rough a couple of times for her, but she never broke. She never really just let it go and dealt with everything. And I just thought that it was so powerful watching her give up everything, give up every minute of her life for 10 days because her best friend, her mother, the woman that brought her into the world and the woman that was her rock throughout the entire time that she was here, she had to be there for every step of the way. So I thought I would tell you guys this story. Mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. I really, really am sorry that Granny's not here anymore, but I know you did everything you could while she was. What's up, guys? Welcome to Now That I'm Older. I'm your host, Shane Smith, and as always, you guys can find us online, nowthatimolder.com, facebook.com/nowthatimolder, at I'm Older PC on Twitter, I'm Older PC at Gmail, and now we've even got a SoundCloud page. Go to SoundCloud, look up Now That I'm Older, we got a page over there. And first thing I want to tell you guys this week, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, all the moms I know, all the moms I don't. You guys do an amazing job being moms, and I just had to say, I hope you guys all had a great day. So this whole episode's not going to be really heavy the entire time. In fact, the first thing we're going to get into is some fun stuff with Kenny and the toddlers he's got living there with his girlfriend now, and how one of them believes that he's kind of a snitch. So here's the clip. We'll be right back. So the other day, I'm looking around on Facebook, and I see this post from Kenny talking about one of the toddlers that he's now got living at his house with his girlfriend, who has apparently devised this mastermind plan to get her sister in trouble by poking her and then forcing her sister to retaliate and then reporting the crime to her mother. Kenny then steps in, obviously, and we're going to pick up with Kenny.
This sounds all very official. Like they're filing police reports on each other. No, this is what happened, all right? So I'm sitting in the recliner, and I have matching recliners. The girls are in the other recliner.
Very chic, by the way, the matching recliners.
Of course. And their mother is on the couch. We're watching TV. And the toddlers are doing the normal thing. Bella is 2, and Olivia is 3. And they're basically fighting over who's on whose side of the chair. And the 2-year-old's kind of getting a kick out of it. So she's, you know, purposely aggravating the 3-year-old. And this quickly escalates. But the 2-year-old is smart. So she's watching her mom. And every time her mom will get into the show or turn her head to do something, she'll reach over and just smack her sister in the face.
That's awesome.
Like just squaw in the face or just poke her in the eye or something mean. Because Bella's got a little mean streak about her. And Olivia's very girly, so she'd just start crying. And her mom would turn around and say, y'all quit fighting, mainly focusing on the 3-year-old because that's who's making the ruckus. So I watched this happen a few times and watched the smacks get a little bit stronger and more aggressive. And watching the 2-year-old clearly watching her mother the whole time to make sure she timed all this
like
correctly.
Like a ninja, basically.
Yeah,
like,
she's setting her sister up.
Yeah.
So her sister goes to hit her back, and she's about to, and her mom's about to put the 3-year-old in timeout. So I speak up and say, no. Don't put the 3-year-old in timeout. Put Bella in timeout. She's hitting her every time you turn your head. And she was not surprised because we know these children, and Bella's always beating up her sister, even though she's the little one. And so Bella gets put in timeout.
I think this was a real dick move on your part. You're not making any friends with the kids. I mean, both of these kids are like living there now.
Dude, it's not my job to be their friend at all. If I was their friend, we would lose the war.
No, what I'm telling you is eventually you're going to need an ally. Because at some point, these children are going to divide and conquer. Because that's what kids do. And you're going to need an
ally.
There's
already
an
ally. Me and their mother are an ally.
For now?
We're going to stay allies because we have to for survival.
This may be like, you know, Russia during World War II where they're like, you know what? To hell with you, Germany. It's over. Okay.
No, Germany is the 2 toddlers.
Yeah.
Trust me. They're winning it right now. But anyway, so she gets put in timeout, 10 minutes. And when mom brings her back out, sits her down, and we go back to watching cartoons, she gives me the slow head turn. And then this eat death look. It gives me basically a look like I snitched on her. And I was like, I didn't snitch on you.
You fucking did snitch on her.
I'm not the snitch. I'm the sheriff. There's a difference. It's my job to tell on her.
It's your job to tell on her? Are
if
you
she's
hearing yourself?
Hitting your sister in the face.
Whether you're accepting this or not, you're sliding into a pseudo-parenting role with these kids.
Well, I mean,
and
I'm
your
trying,
job is to snitch on
I'm
her.
I'm trying to get the 3-year-old to fight back because the 2-year-old consistently whips her butt. The 2-year-old's pretty, like, you know, she's a lot like my cat. She gives no fucks whatsoever.
She doesn't give a fuck about anything
at all. She'll, like, look at you and smile and then pour some shit out.
So apparently the toddler and the cat at Kenny's house just don't give a fuck about anything. The next thing we get into is a promo game that Kenny came up with where apparently I have to cut promos over the top of this random music that Kenny finds. Now, the rules are if I can cut a promo and get all the way through it without messing up, I win. If I can't and I have to stop in the middle of it and go, what the hell's going on, then Kenny wins. So here it is. We'll be right back.
Podcast promo, take 1.
Girl, What's up, guys? Welcome to Now That I'm Older. I'm your host, Shane Smith. And as always, you guys can find us online, nowthatimolder.com, facebook.com/nowthatimolder, at I'm Older PC on Twitter, imolderpc@gmail.com. Remember to check the show out every Thursday. Let me know what you guys think. Leave me comments on Facebook. Just get your friends talking about this thing. We want to build the audience, and that starts with you guys.
Word. Yeah, I wanted to go with the gangster theme we got going here.
Dude, we agreed we wouldn't even mention the fact that we had a theme going on in the background.
How can you not mention it? It's all gangster.
It's not really that gangster. It's really just like a piano playing in the background with somebody going, what?
I don't think they say what.
What are they saying?
Hold on. I'm sure.
You have no idea what they're saying, and they don't say it very often, so you have no clue.
I'm going to say it again. Here it comes. I changed it up. Now there's clapping.
Now there's clap. I thought we agreed we wouldn't mention the whole thing. We would just stick to the promo format, and that would be that. You got distracted by how gangster the fucking music was that
Dude,
you found.
Don't be mad.
I'm not mad. I'm very happy about the gangster music. I feel very like we're allowed to use the N-word.
Dude, you should never use the N-word.
Why should I never use the N-word?
You don't have a pass.
I definitely have a pass. I talked to Chris at one point. He told me that I had a pass.
Yes. Chris is a little bit too nice.
No, Chris is not nice, dude. I feel as though he's the ambassador for all black people I know.
Nope.
Yeah, all of them.
No, you don't have a pass.
I have a pass.
Nope.
I have a pass.
You've never stole another man's tennis shoes.
Never once.
Then you don't have a pass.
Why should I not get a pass if I've never stolen anyone's shoes?
You wouldn't understand unless you had a pass.
I feel like the music's going to run out. We're just going to be talking to each other.
I got five more minutes of this.
Are you serious? There's 5 minutes of this shit is playing? I'm going to kill myself if we listen to this for 5 minutes straight.
I think we should. I don't think you'll do it.
I got to be honest and say I don't think I'm ready to fulfill that that demand. But.
Sister Girl on the Beat is what this is called.
Sister Girl on the Beat?
Yeah, Sister Girl on the Beat.
Have you heard about the DJ that...
Trap Instrumentals, free downloads.
You giving them advertising now?
Stormcloud, what's up?
SoundCloud, not Stormcloud.
Oh, well, if Odin was in charge, it'd be Stormcloud.
Have you seen the recent article? I was reading one about people...
The storm giants tear your company down, you'll know why.
Well, check this out. I was reading an article on customer service people at Netflix and shit like that.
I bet storm giants would be horrible at customer service.
First off, who's going to make phones big enough for storm giants to use? Who's going to make a phone big enough or a headset big enough for a storm giant?
They'd be
to use?
The worst, like...
Dude, the cubicles alone would take
ever.
Up so much space. Like, we don't have room on Earth for giants, dude. There's no more fucking room in China for people, period.
China's got plenty of room.
They don't have plenty
people
of room.
People are very compact over there. What?
Wow.
What?
I told you they were saying what.
Now they're saying what. They were saying something different.
They were not saying something different. They were saying what.
They were saying what?
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 I just want to point out that it was Kenny saying that people in China were compact, not me. And they were definitely saying what over the top of that beat. Next thing we get into is a friend of mine named Macha stops in the studio. Now, Macha works for a local radio station, and she stopped in for a few clips you guys are going to hear over the course of the next few weeks. But the first one we get into is comparing and contrasting one of the best moms you've ever heard about in the intro clip to one of the possibly worst fucking mothers you've ever heard about in this last clip here. Now, some of you guys might have heard this news story, but if not, here's a clip. Check it out. So, I recently read a story about the naked Twister mom. Have you guys heard the story yet?
Yes.
No.
I haven't heard the entire story, but I read the headline, which was the most hysterical thing I've ever read.
Oh, it gets so much better than
so
the headline.
Tell the story, because I have not heard a thing about it.
Okay, so this chick, obviously, she's going to be in Georgia, because that's just the way our luck goes. The chick is 35 years old, right? And she's divorced, she's got 5 kids, and she's got a 16-year-old daughter. And her 16-year-old daughter calls her up one night. She's already been drinking a little bit, hanging out, partying. And her 16-year-old daughter calls her up and says, hey, guys, do you want us to come over and party with you? And she's like, what are you talking about? Well, I've got 4 or 5 friends, and we're looking for a place to party. We don't have anywhere to go.
This is already weird, because for a 16-year-old to want to hang out with their parent, weird.
Fucking exactly. That's the first thing that jumped out at me on the story is, like, why would you ever want to hang out with your mom who's 35 when you're 16? But that's what happened. They go over to mom's house, and everybody sits around. The 16 and 17-year-old kids all start drinking alcohol. They're smoking pot with the mom. I'm already like, okay, things are fucking way gone creepy already. And suddenly the mom says, hey, guys, let's play Twister. But let's make it entertaining and a little bit more intense and play naked. So all the 17 and 16-year-old children, including her daughter, get naked and play Twister.
Okay.
I feel like I'm having deja
vu. On one hand, if you think about it as a 16, 17 year old, that's the coolest fucking thing that's ever happened to you.
Oh, yeah. That's the fucking night that you'll never stop talking about. Yeah. That's something that you'll talk about. Your friends who are 16 and equally, like, you're in school with them and shit like that, you're like, dude, you have no fucking idea how awesome my weekend was.
Yeah.
But for the people who are, you know, in the story and fucking related, playing Naked Twister with your mom is just one of those things that's right up there.
Oh, yeah, that just sunk in. The daughter played Naked Twister.
Where have you been, dude? Me and Macho have been talking about
the friends and everybody.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to hear the headline? The hysterical headline?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Horny mom threw teen daughter a Naked Twister sex party, AA sponsor says.
That's
why
she,
this story rules.
That's how she fucking found out, was the fact that they had the AA sponsor. She had gone, she was actually in a sex addiction, like rehab type group trying to get over this sort of thing. And she told her AA sponsor, like, after she's already thrown this party for her daughter and her friends, hey, I had this party. But the party doesn't stop with them playing Naked Twister. Oh, no. We go further into this party.
Seriously, deja vu here.
We go further into this party. And
wait, deja vu. Have you done this before, Kenny?
I'll add to the story at the end here.
All right.
I've fucking never played Naked Twister with Kenny, and I've known him since I was 16. Okay?
Are you sure?
Oh, I am fucking positive.
It wasn't Naked
Twister.
But
whose mom did Kenny play Naked Twister with?
We have a friend named Serena, whose mom he played Naked Twister with.
Deja vu.
And that's pretty terrible.
I want to talk more about Kenny's experience and less about this
lady.
Well,
let's talk about the Naked Twister mom, and we can definitely get into Kenny, because that's a whole podcast episode on its own, like with multiple guests. Going, can you tell me your weirdest story?
I got a nickname and let's go this from whole there. Adventure. I was the
Milf Wracker.
The original motherfucker.
The original motherfucker. We literally called him the OMF for probably like two, three years in a row. It was literally like his nickname.
It wasn't just one incident.
And it wasn't from a Naked Twister party. Like, it started out pretty innocently. But we're going to get back into the Naked Twister mom because we're not done with the fucking wide and winding road that night takes on with them. Right. So they're hanging out. More. They're playing Naked Twister. Everything's happening. They're having a good time. And the mom says, hey, guys, let's go to the hot tub and hang out. Naked still. Everybody goes to the hot tub.
Everyone's still naked. Now they're in the hot tub.
Everyone's butt-ass naked, and they're in the hot tub. 16, 17-year-olds, the daughter and the mom, both butt-ass naked in the hot tub together.
That's still kind of creepy.
Still fucking way creepy. Mm-hmm. At one point during the hot tub, the mom sneaks away with one of the kids who happens to be 18.
Well, at least it was the 18-year-old.
Yeah,
it could have been a 16-year-old.
I was 17.
She sneaks away with the 18-year-old, and they go to the bathroom, and they have fucking sex. So that's fine. Dude's 18. She's 35. Still
consensual.
Creepy. Probably like a 6 on the creepy scale.
Yeah.
Like a 10.
But it's
10,
consensual and adults, so it's okay.
A 10 on the badass scale for the 18-year-old.
Absolutely.
But about a 6 for the 35-year-old. So anyway, she has sex with him. She comes out after she has sex. She's not fulfilled. She's not happy with how much sex she's gotten at this point. So she goes to her bedroom and grabs toys.
Oh, boy.
This one was a freak.
Still butt-ass naked. Grabs toys.
You did say she was a sex addict, correct?
Sex addict.
Okay.
Showing.
Yeah, yeah. That's fucking probably pretty prevalent at this point. Mm-hmm. So she goes to the bedroom, grabs some toys, comes back out, sits on the couch in front of her daughter's boyfriend, couple other kids, all chilling.
Creepy.
Starts penetrating herself vaginally and anally in front of the 16, 17-year-old and 18 children.
No!
Ew.
What?
Yeah.
Ew!
Yeah.
Mom! You're embarrassing me!
Apparently not. Apparently it wasn't a problem for this girl.
So,
well, I'm sure she's done it before. I'm sure this is not the first instance.
This doesn't
of this.
Seem like, you know, the one night that you decided to be a little risque and decided to, I don't know, have a horny hot tub party with your daughter and her friends. I'm pretty sure this was part of a long line of the really crazy. It did say she's divorced, so chances are she's probably fucked way too many people while she was supposed to be being the good little wife and everything like that. So,
the good little wife.
So she tells the AA sponsor about it. Cops get involved. They arrest her for contributing to the delinquency of a minor, for giving the kids alcohol and all that shit. Not for having sex, because she had sex with the 18-year-old, but during the investigation and part of the stuff that she told the AA sponsor, while she passed out that night, she went to bed about 3:30 in the morning, And when she passed out, sometime after that, she woke up to someone having sex with her.
What?
The daughter's...
The plot thickens.
The daughter's fucking boyfriend...
No!
...went to the bedroom and fucked the mom...
Bam.
While she was passed
out? While she was passed out.
So he raped her mom?
Basically raped her mom.
What? That's insane!
I want to slow everything down, and I want to read a quote from the daughter, because this is some real fucking shit that really happened out there. The daughter said, and I quote, "I felt bad because my boyfriend is huge, about 10 inches, and he wouldn't have had to rape my mom if I could have just taken it."
Oh, wow. What? Wow. Wow.
Evans, Georgia. That's where these people are. Ladies and gentlemen, if anybody's listening in Evans, Georgia, what the fuck is in your water? I mean, what the hell is going on down there for this chick to really be running around?
Your microphone. I got headphones on. That hurt my ears.
Take the fucking headphones off then, fool.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
This is the worst.
And now the daughter thinks it's her fault that her boyfriend just raped her mother, who just had sex with one of her friends after their horny, naked, twister party hot tub thing.
Ooh. Let's not forget the couch.
And the couch.
Anally penetrating herself in front of her fucking daughter. That's the thing. When I read that part, I was like, okay, so you went and got toys and put on a show for your daughter and her friends?
Okay, all right. As a woman, I'm sitting here thinking, how could you ever fucking do that? Like, what gives you the gall?
As a human being, I was thinking the same exact thing.
No, but I mean, specifically as a woman, because, you know, it's like, as a dude, you jerk off in a corner and usually people don't notice. You know, like, that's what dudes do.
Where are you hanging out?
I have never once just gone to the corner and just knocked one out.
I've seen at pretty rowdy parties, I've seen guys kind of just sitting by themselves doing their thing.
That's weird.
It's creepy and it's unsettling, but, you know, that's the thing. And it's usually in a corner somewhere when they're doing it. But as a woman... And using toys, you have to, you know, disrobe, and you have to... I mean,
she's already fucking naked. Yeah, there's no reason to get disrobed. All right,
never mind. But I don't know. It's just, that's some sort of psychosis. I don't think it's just I have a fucked up family situation. I just think it's a different part of psychosis. It's a different part of social interaction where you believe in your head that this is the right thing to do right now.
Well, without getting too Freudian about it, you gotta believe that in her head, she already crossed that boundary and she's in normal ass territory. This is, like we talked about before, this is not the first time she's done some shit like this.
Yeah.
So Rachel, the 35-year-old chick,
we're on a first name basis.
Yeah, no, totally. I know her. We're hanging out now. Mm-hmm. But like,
she's masturbating on the couch next to Kenny.
Yeah, definitely.
Whoa.
Penetrating herself anally next to Kenny with toys.
Hey, how's that butt plug, Rachel?
Yeah, it's
how's
good stuff. Good stuff. She's not going to talk. She's got a ball gag in. But anyway. But the
you
whole
clarify that this is fictional.
Rachel,
you really should see this. Clarify that?
You should see this, Rachel. There's a chick with a ball gag.
I'm worried about my girl
again.
Another. Your girlfriend's name's Rachel, and so is the horny,
yes.
horny mom.
Yes. Now it's all coming together.
Yeah. Okay. So your horny mom, Rachel.
Yeah.
Horny mom.
Not my girlfriend. And nobody's here masturbating.
How do we
have to clarify that? Come
how
on.
Does anyone know that there's no one here masturbating? But I want
to
go back.
I've masturbated 5 times already during this podcast.
Definitely.
But I did it in a corner. So
yes, she did it in a corner with her back turned to us. We didn't notice. We thought something was itching on her leg.
And
the
buzzing was just the phone. That's all it was.
Yeah,
it was,
she's got an app. You know, there's an app for that. But
wow.
it's
gotta get that app.
Oh boy, we've crossed.
You
lines.
Need to get the app to masturbate vaginally, Kenny? Is that what I'm hearing over there?
I mean, if it's an app, I mean, you know.
It's just a phone case that you put over your phone and it turns into a dildo and then you just call yourself 15 times.
Wow.
Wow.
Wait, does that not exist? That should probably exist.
By the way, Evans, Georgia is by Augusta.
Evans, Georgia is by Augusta,
it's on
which means they're
in the
deep
with,
south.
South Carolina.
Which part of the trailer park is it?
I haven't got that close to it.
Dude,
yet.
I looked. I gotta
and
be
what
honest.
What trailer park has a hot tub?
I don't know. I've seen some pretty crazy trailer parks and shit like that. I've seen some pretty dirty ones, but I've seen some pretty crazy ones. But I looked at like pictures of the chick just to see, like, did she look skanky? Because the mugshot always has that, you know, bleary eyed, oh my God, I just got busted fucking a 16-year-old look to them.
Yeah.
And, because all of them have that look when they take the mugshots. But
they all look like they just had sex with a 16-year-old.
But they put like her Facebook pictures on there, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, this is not an unattractive chick. You know, she's actually really pretty. She's slim. You know, she's athletic looking. She looked like she wouldn't have had a problem finding a man. So it doesn't make a lick of sense to me to be like,
she's a psychotic sex addict. So of course she's having a problem finding a man.
She literally referred to herself, this is no bullshit, as a sexual deviant and was showing porn to her daughter. On the phone of her having creepy sex.
So who's going to pay for the therapy for this kid when she's 35 herself and she realizes what her entire childhood has been?
Hopefully she's got a good job.
That's if she gets out of the trailer park.
Hopefully she's got a good job at that point. But chances are she's going to be working for
Wendy's.
Even
if she has a good job, she's probably still going to be like, oh my God, my mom just masturbated in front of all my friends.
Well, I'm saying she'll probably have insurance or at least Obamacare where she can get some fucking psychotic fucking therapy or some shit.
Yeah. Either that or she's going to turn out to be just like her mom.
That's Now That I'm Older this week, guys. I'm your host, Shane Smith. Thanks a lot to Macho for helping me and Kenny out with the show this week. And check us out online, nowthatimolder.com, facebook.com/nowthatimolder, @imolderpc on Twitter, imolderpc @gmail, and check us out on the new SoundCloud page. And also, next Thursday, the new episode drops called Stop Apologizing. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great week.
The sound of me leaving. I'm not sorry at all. I'm tired of going home. I have union rights.